Hey everyone, this is Ksenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Planable, the collaboration tool for social media teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. Every week, we explore the story of their career, choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Today, I'm talking to Vivian Gonsalves. She's the Venturing and Emerging Brands Marketing Director for Latham at the Coca-Cola Company. She has been working for Coca-Cola for some good years, gaining very, very diverse experience. It includes digital and cultural transformation, integrated marketing communication, and brand management. A very important side of Vivian's career is also the focus on people management and mentoring. Vivian, thanks so much for taking the time to join me on People of Marketing podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
So I want to start this conversation with looking backwards at your career and trying to connect the dots. I want to talk about the very early stage of your career. And my first question around that is, what would you say was your first interaction with marketing, if you can remember that? And what got you into marketing in the first place?
Yeah, sure. And this is very interesting. I always like to talk about my career going back to my childhood, because I strongly believe that some of very important foundations are there. So as a kid, I was a very curious, spontaneous and creative girl. And I went to a very progressive school. They were very strong in helping kids to become problem solvers. So instead of, you know, just preparing kids for tests, they were much more worried about having rounded human beings in a way that you can navigate life easily. So it opened up a lot my creativity as well. And then my dad, he was, a serial entrepreneur, which helped me to become very flexible and also adaptable to different realities. And the last thing of my childhood is I had my grandmother, she was a sociologist, and she was a very creative woman too. So she kind of helped me to become a more creative kid as well. So a very creative childhood. And then I remember as a teenager, besides all teenagers like to do, I love to go to the supermarket with my mom. And not necessarily they like to do to supermarkets, to go to supermarket, but I did. And I remember that I was fascinated about, you know, all the products on the shelf. So the colors, the size,
the branding,
the functionalities. And I was thinking to myself, who did it? Who's responsible for this? What type of career is that?
People of marketing.
that's the point. But at that moment, I couldn't even recognize the word marketing. I didn't know that we had a discipline that could embody all the things I was seeing on the shelf. But at the end of the day, it was marketing, but I wasn't aware. So I would say that was the first time I was hit by the marketing without knowing it was marketing. And then afterwards, I decided to go and to pursue a marketing career. So I went to college to study marketing, and then I did an MBA in marketing. And I started working in marketing as well very early in my journey. So I worked for a newspaper company. And then I started working for a retail supermarket chain, which was really cool. And then I was recruited by L'Oreal as a marketing trainee. And then I became a marketing manager at L'Oreal. And then I went to Coca-Cola, which, as you said before, I have been working a lot of time for Coca-Cola. And I have worked for several different parts of the business. I never got bored because at Coke, it's such an amazing career path. It's a total beverage company. So whenever you change the beverage you are working for, it's a completely new world, which means you have to understand the supply chain, you know, ingredients and the type of consumer. So it is super interesting to go from one category to the other inside the same company. So yeah, that's it. So right now I take care of emerging brands, and it's a very interesting and very differentiated part of the marketing side that I have never been exposed before.
Right. For how long have you been working at the Coca-Cola company?
I'm going to be working for Coca-Cola company for 20 years in wow. October this year.
Wow,
so it's
congrats.
My life.
Congrats.
It's my life. Yeah, and it's amazing because I guess it's a combination of my values with the company. Before Coke, I tried several things. It was very nice, very good, yeah. but I couldn't see myself there. But at Coke, because it's very dynamic, and for marketer, it's such a nice place because it's such a valuable discipline. The company, right. you know, really values marketing. So it's an amazing place for you to develop yourself.
Right. On how many, I'm curious on how many brands have you worked at the Coke, if you know the number, I imagine.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Well, directly, I manage Coca-Cola brand. I launched Coke Zero in Brazil. Then I led Fanta trademark. I led the juice business with several sub-brands in the business. And then when I was in marketing communication, I led marketing campaigns for all the brands in the portfolio. So it's a lot in the digital transformation as well. We think not about one brand specifically, but the entire portfolio.
Right.
So a lot of interesting businesses and brands. Very
yeah.
interesting, really.
You don't see that many people who are spending such a big chunk of their career yeah. in at one single company. And I think it's fortunate to find such a company where you fit so well and you love it and you're enjoying it and you can spend so much time in it. And I'm curious, what do you see the advantages of, you know, being with one company for a really long time? How do you think it helps one's career?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, in the case of the Coca-Cola, I feel that it's a big school, you know, so you mm-hmm. have several types, several angles of the marketing career that you can pursue at the same company. And that's why it got me interested, because at the end of the day, for me, what is really, really important is to keep developing myself, keep evolving. I'm a strong believer that my best version is right at the next corner. So I'm very curious. I'm always looking for different challenges. And the benefit of pursuing a career in such an amazing company is because they have always provided me a lot of challenges. I'm a little bit challenge addicted in the good sense, because I love, you know, looking for different things. The more different it is, the more I like. So yeah, basically that's what happened. And I think also because my values combine and are so aligned with the company mm-hmm. values, it's a safe place for you to take risk.
Right.
Because you take risk, but you take risk in a place that you respect, you love, and you have great people around you. So that's the right place for you to take risk.
Right. So tell us a bit about your current position at the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah, well, I'm leading emerging brands, and it's basically a work of finding and then incubating, investing, and maybe in the future even acquiring new types of businesses for the company, especially beverage businesses. I went to United States some years ago to learn and also contribute to the CCNA, we call Coca-Cola North America business structure. So it was very good because they are a best-in-class business unit for the world in emerging brands. So the idea is basically we go outside, we work more outside than inside the company, and we look for mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. What are the future of consumers and the future of beverages? And then we try to match both. So it's a very interesting work. And for Latin America, we are just starting the business, but with a bigger mission.
Got it. So obviously nothing's better than the present. The present time is the best. But I'm curious, what was a different highlight of your career with Coke You obviously spent a very long time with the Coca-Cola company. And if you can share a highlight, an exciting time or a challenging time or a very dear time to you with the Coca-Cola company.
Yes, sure. And it's an interesting moment of my career because it was not the brand management scope. What happened in the company at the time is that we had a marketing community that was not as engaged as they used to be in the past. So my leader invited me to take the lead in terms of reverting the engagement situation. And also by doing so, not only fixing this, but also try to envision how the marketer of the future looks like. And then it was such an amazing work for me because it was not about a brand or a product. It was about our people, you know, about helping the marketers to become better marketers and also trying to find what motivate people at the core and how we could create the right environment for them to be successful in their careers and then and also for them to feel valuable for the company. So it was a kind of a combination between HR, marketing, engagement, futurism, and it was such a beautiful part of my career. I really love it. So I never forgot that this is the most important thing in my life, you know, in terms of it's about the people you meet, right, and what you do with them, you know. So for me, it's really, really important for that. So I became a better leader after this experience, and I really miss it.
That's amazing.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, talking about experiences, you know, we've all had this seemingly insignificant events, or they seemed insignificant at that time when they were happening to us. But then later on in life, we realized that those seemingly insignificant events actually went on and changed our lives. They represented a big milestone for us. Did you have anything like that? What's yours seemingly insignificant event?
Yes, I do. I do have. And it's funny because I was, when I was deciding to go pursue a college degree, I started looking for a law school and not a marketing school. Law school. Because in my family, I had several different lawyers. My grandfather was a lawyer. And they were more like in the traditional space of career. And marketing was quite of something they wouldn't allow me to go for. So I was, you know, following the rules. Let's go for law. And when I went to visit one of the colleges, and when I was coming back home, I stopped at a traffic light. And the traffic light was in front of another university. And then, ironically, I received a brochure from that college. Somebody, you know, gave me, I was inside my mom's car, and the person gave me the brochure. And I started taking a look at the brochure. And the brochure said, marketing. And I was like, oh my God, let me take a look. And then when I saw that marketing was what I was looking for, then I told my mom, can we go back there? Wow. I went to visit this place and try to understand what is really marketing. And maybe that's what I'm looking for. And then we did it. And I decided to apply for that specific college.
Wow, that's
just because accidentally I received a marketing. And that's also ironic, because I received a marketing, advertisement.
Yeah.
and then I decided to go for a marketing career. It was like this.
I love it. That's such an amazing story. I mean, I can't think of a more random thing, yeah, but you're leading to such an important thing in life. And it went well.
Yeah, so because marketing was not usual, you know. I guess it was the first business school offering marketing at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was really something very special.
Yeah, and you probably didn't know people that worked in marketing.
No.
It was not a thing.
I started my career from scratch, you know, without any type of role modeling, nothing. But just because I felt that there was my strengths, you know, my talent.
Right. you know, talking about your career path, you know, and your journey with the Coca-Cola company, I'm wondering if, you know, how did you get into the company? How did you get to work at the Coca-Cola company? And have you ever imagined that 20 years later, you're still going to be happy there with the company, that you're going to be where you are now? Was that a plan all along? Was the Coca-Cola company on your wish list of companies to work for? How did this happen and what do you think about it?
Yes. Well, first of all, I have to confess that I was always, and I'm still am, very a big fan of Coca-Cola. Since I was a child, Coca-Cola was a big brand for me. So yes, it was on my wish list for sure. When I started working for the Coca-Cola company, I started in what they call marketing. It's more franchise marketing, which is more marketing towards the... we have a bottling system. So I was in partnership with the bottling system in order to develop local marketing strategies for a specific region. So it was very good because I learned since the very beginning how the system operated. So for me, it was very important to start from that position at the Coca-Cola company. And then I never imagined staying 20 years at the same company. But I always searched for developing myself. And there was always something for me to go and to apply in new positions and new challenges. And that got my attention. And so that's why I decided to stay. So, and I would say that also the brand management piece is really interesting to work for because you are at the company that you have the most important brands. And then you have a lot of space to, there is, at the Coca-Cola company is amazing because if you have a good idea, they are going to find the money to make it happen. You know, there is always a yes for good ideas. And I love that part of the business too. So that's something that caught my attention as well.
Right. I mean, working in brand management for one of the most valuable brands in the world is, I guess, the best place to be in. Talking about marketing in general, I want to ask you, you know, I'm sure, you know, being in brand management, you look at other brands, you look at, and, you know, considering the position that you're in right now, looking at the market, evaluating different brands, emerging brands, but I'm sure you also look at some other bigger brands, just because that's what marketers do, right? We watch Super Bowl ads and we read everything about, you know, what happens in marketing. So I'm curious, what company do you think is doing great marketing today and why?
Yeah, that's a very good question. For me, one important thing right now is to do more than say. Meaning it's not only about advertisement anymore. The offer, the product, or what the brand stands for is extremely important for the brand to be successful and admired. So I feel that all brands that are doing something that goes beyond communication and they are very consistent to their brand positioning purpose, I feel that those are the brands that are doing great. More than ever, and especially right now with all the context we are living, it's so volatile that the more you have clarity on your organizing principles, your purpose, whatever you have that it's you, the more important it is. In terms of brands that I admire, of course, we have already talked about Coke, and what I love from Coke is the fact that it has a lot of cultural relevance. It's everywhere, so it can be very close to consumers and to individuals. I love brands like Spotify because it dematerialized music and it also personalized music in a way that I cannot imagine my life without it. Mm. Let's say I love also Whole Foods. I feel that it's such a brilliant assortment, and you have a perfect shopper experience every time you go to the store. That's fascinating for me. I have also a lot of respect to Pixar. I love the animation industry. I feel that the fact that you enter a movie theater your mood is not a good one, and then you walk out of the cinema and you are completely changed because of a meaningful story that really connects to you at the bottom of your heart.
Right.
And the way Pixar, you know, try to find stories that are really human stories. I really admire the brand and the business as a whole. And last but not least, I would say Patagonia, because I love how they have the organizing principles that I told you, and they are very aligned and consistent to that. I love the activism and how they role modeling against consumerism and climate change. Very different types of brands, but they are all doing the same. They are not only saying, but they are doing. And that's what I'm...
Such a great selection of brands, and I can totally see why you selected them. You know, all of them stick very closely to their values.
Exactly.
And yeah, great selection of brands. So I wanted to go back a bit to your career and to the early part of your career. And a question that I had for you was, if there's anything you wish you knew when you were just starting out in your career, would you give yourself any advice?
Yes, I would. And it's not only for my career, but I guess it's for life. I wouldn't care too much about what people think.
Right.
Sometimes, especially women, we tend to ask for permission and we want people to have a good point of view on us. They are always judging and we are trying to somehow follow the company ladder in terms of career path. And that's not necessarily what you want.
Yeah.
But you are doing so because you don't want people to judge you. So you just follow and you go through. At certain moments in my career, I really decided how to operate based on others' direction and not my direction. So if I could, I would tell myself, hey, look, you know what you want. Follow your instinct and don't care too much about others' judgment. They will judge you if you're going to do it or not. They will judge you. So do it.
It's such great advice, very freeing in a way.
People will judge. They always do.
So it doesn't matter. Just do what you know.
Yeah.
But you feel true. Yeah.
Sounds simplistic, but it's not, right?
Yeah, true. I wanna talk a bit about something different. So an angle that I take in People of Marketing podcast is that I like to talk not just about the good stuff, but also about the challenges and the failures and the lessons and the imperfections of the marketing life. Because so often it looks very pink in media, it looks perfect in media, and we all know that it's not. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, what did you struggle the most with, you know, with something in yourself, like a habit or a skill that you struggled the most to develop in yourself across the career?
Well, the other side of being creative is not being so disciplined, right? So
yeah, that's the stereotype. Is it true?
So yeah, at least it's the stereotype, right?
Yeah.
So let's say I never needed a lot of infrastructure to operate.
Mm.
I love challenges in which I have a white piece of paper in front of me,
right,
a big ambition, and set me free to do whatever I want to do. And then I tend to operate better in this kind of environment. However, when you want to become a leader or when you want to manage better the context around you, when you are in a big corporation, it's a lot about processes.
Right.
And to follow the processes without losing your creative side, but also you have to somehow cope with the discipline needed. And I remember that some parts of some people working in my teams as even peers, they needed much more structure from my side. And they gave me feedback like, hey, look, I know that you operate pretty well like this, but I don't. And then in order for me to become a better leader, I decided to start becoming more disciplined early in my career, right? So in understanding that to be creative, discipline is also very good. It helps you a lot in terms of finding the right moment for you to be creative and the moment that you have to be just very productive. And that's it. So for me, it was extremely important, and I became so disciplined that some people right now, when they describe me, it's amazing. I always laugh about it because when they describe me, they always use the word discipline. You are such a disciplined marketer. And it's not because I need it, but it's because in order for me to become a better leader, I must be very disciplined.
So that's a very
also
common...
creative and et cetera.
Yeah, so that's a very common struggle for creatives, building that discipline in themselves. And maybe you can share a few things that worked for you, for our audience, a few things that you implemented that made you more efficient, more productive, more organized. Could you share any of those tips?
Well, I will share something that it's more, let's say, high level. A high level tip.
Yeah.
Because it helps everybody. I don't know if you know a lot about design thinking, but I love design thinking, not only for finding creative ideas, but because it makes very clear for you when you are open to diverge. So you have to open, and then you can investigate, you can find new ideas, you can bring new stuff, but then you have to converge, meaning there is a moment for you to be creative, and there is a moment for you to have the outcome of your creativity. And by using, applying these for every single piece of my working life, I can be creative 5 minutes and then I have to go and deliver something that it's really critical for the next following meeting. You know, because what I'm looking for is always not the extremes, but to find the right balance between being creative and disciplined at the same time. And you can do it. It's not that bad. So for me, design thinking, it's the type of process that puts the two things together in a very successful way. And I apply it everywhere.
Amazing. That's super great feedback, design thinking. Okay, so let's talk a bit about the industry. And our industry, marketing, it's ever-changing. So it's so dynamic, fast-pacing, and it has so many new trends and new buzzwords every single week. And I want to ask a very controversial question, but what is one buzzword or popular thing in marketing today that's really, really annoying you, or that you disagree with, or you think is just totally massively overrated?
Okay. Yeah, it's not that I disagree.
Yeah,
it's quite the opposite. I agree so much that I really want to take care of this expression, which is consumer centricity. Everybody's okay. Talking about consumer centricity. And what happens normally, our people, they are smart. So they absorb the concepts very quickly, but then they apply everywhere without rigor. And it becomes, you know, so empty. And I feel that nowadays, many people are talking about consumer centricity just because they have a consumer. But at the end of the day, consumer centricity is about having a long-term relationship with your consumer, having them participating in your process of ideation and giving you feedback, iterating with you all the time. So I feel that consumer centricity to be at the core means that you need to put in place a lot of infrastructure, and your intent needs to be really, really strong in the sense of having this relationship with consumers. And it's not an easy task. That's why I wouldn't use the expression if it wouldn't be possible for me to have the right conditions to have the dialogue with consumers.
Right.
So that's a very annoying situation sometimes for me.
That's such a great answer. So You agree with the concept, you agree with the importance of consumer centricity, but you just think that it has been a bit diluted in the industry. Yeah, that's good advice.
That's my point.
So let's move forward with our rapid fire session. I have four quick questions for you. Quick questions, quick answers. Are you ready, Vivian?
Yes, I am.
Great. So first one is, if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
I'm a big fan of architecture and even design. I like both. I love the fact that they can translate emotions into something tangible. And it's beautiful how they can influence the way you live, your mood, just because they can use the right shapes and colors and etc. So I guess it takes me back to my my first connection with marketing at the past. I love the colors, I love the shapes, I love, you know, design. This is really important for me.
So something in the design or the architecture world.
Yeah, making things tangible, but beautiful, but functional, cozy. I like the ability to do it. I don't know if I would be able to become an architecture, maybe a designer. Yes, architecture, I don't know, but I really enjoy the profession.
That's a lovely answer. Okay, what's your favorite app or tool you use at work?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily an app. I have a belief that we have to develop ourselves through our strengths, so through our talents, more than through the gaps. So I feel that by doing so, we become much more productive. Of course, you have to close the gap. Of course, you have to get to know things that you're not so good at, like I did with the discipline piece. However, you have to be very aware of your own strengths. What are the things that you are amazing, that you have a great talent since ever? And then when you use those things, when you build on top of that, you become much more productive. So it's about, you know, knowing yourself and being the best version of yourself.
Right.
And for me, that's, you know, the most important thing. Sometimes when I see people not thriving in my teams, sometimes and most of the times it's a misplacement, you know, the person's not matching well the challenge, and sometimes it's okay because you are developing, but sometimes it's not. You are looking for something that's not the specific talent that person has. So it's very important for me to be productive.
Perfect. Next one would be, what's your favorite social media network, or maybe the most addictive one?
Well, nowadays, living abroad, it's extremely important for me to have the WhatsApp as a tool.
It is so really, you can stay really in touch with friends and family.
With my family all the time, and it's for free, which is amazing. Back in the 90s, was really impossible for you to live abroad.
Phone calls.
Phone calls were so expensive. So I feel that they have a very important part of my life. And I feel much more comfortable living here, especially right now in this kind of situation, because I can, you know, connect my family pretty fast.
Right. And last one would be, worst advice you've ever received.
Not a specific person or a specific situation, but people tend to say that you cannot be yourself at work. You have to be a different persona at work, right?
Like, yes, I've
don't
heard
be yourself.
That.
Don't show vulnerability. Don't, you know, don't be authentic. Just be what they want you to be. And I simply hate it. I feel that you have to be yourself. Of course, you have to adapt to the situation.
Right.
You know, you have to understand others and be very empathetic with others so you can better react to them. But, you know, just be yourself. It's a terrible life going to work. We work 8-10 hours a day, being another person.
Right.
It's not feasible. So I've heard from many people these things, like, you have to be a different person at work than you are in your personal life. Oh, I don't like it.
That's just such a great answer. I've heard that before, and I can't agree. Yeah, I can't agree more with you. It's just perfect answer. So this, I could probably talk to you forever. This was really a lovely, lovely conversation, Vivian. Thank you so much for just taking the time to share your story and share your insights and everything that, you know, you've learned across your journey. I really enjoyed hearing it all. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was very nice. Lovely.
And for everyone else listening in, thank you for joining. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed chatting with Vivian. And don't forget, we have new episodes every Wednesday. Subscribe to People of Marketing on your favorite podcast app and keep rocking.